You are. These are the two words that I heard when I woke up yesterday morning. Right when I woke up, first thing, it was just very notable. The words, you are, came to my mind, came to me. You see, I'd been contemplating the night before and during the week all about the meanings of salt and light, to be able to preach about that. And it's especially important given our parish name, Light of the World. It's kind of funny, my friend, Father Brian Larkin, he's always threatening me to start a church across the street called Salt of the Earth. But I know he has enough to worry about, so I think we're safe. But what came to me, you know, was really these two words, you are. And I think it's the Holy Spirit wanting to really focus on these first two words of what Jesus says to his disciples. Jesus says to all of his disciples, to each one of us here, you are. There's this commissioning that he's giving to all of us, this responsibility, indeed, that he's placing upon us. I think we all hope and desire for many good things that we hear about in the first reading and beyond, that souls would be saved, that people would know Jesus and that the faith would grow, that people would return to the Catholic faith that they have abandoned, that justice would be upheld, that humans would know mercy and would flourish rather than suffer. We want and hope and desire for all these good things, and maybe we wonder, well, how will this come about? And we go seeking that. How will it come about? You know, maybe people look for the right leader or some kind of visionary who can do this, or a wise policy that'll finally get it right, or that great program and initiative, or maybe that perfect liturgy, or maybe that killer app, you know? But when we really push into the heart of the solution, Jesus says, you are. You are the salt of the earth. You are the light of the world. I think sometimes we play a kind of game of chicken with Jesus, where there are all these different things we know that need to happen. You know, maybe in my life, my family and the world and the church, all these things that we really want and it seems important, but at the same time, we kind of just leave it for Jesus to do it, or maybe find someone else who will do that. I've got other stuff to worry about. I can't possibly help. I don't have anything to offer. But there are things that Jesus desires, like those beautiful things I mentioned. There are things he desires but refuses to do until you are his salt and light for the world. We can bemoan the state of the world, the struggles of the church. I can talk all about the practicals of being salt and light, but that is all rather futile until we are convinced that each of us needs to be that salt and light. Jesus takes us seriously. And he takes seriously what we can contribute, being his salt and light. And I know maybe that can be scary. I'm not sure what I can do or how this can happen. You know, it might be scary to put myself out there, salt and light, through these beautiful things the Lord calls us to. You know, St. Paul himself, when speaking to the Corinthians in our second reading, talked about how he came in weakness and fear, trembling. But it was precisely in still coming to the Corinthians, of still fulfilling his role as an apostle, that kind of salt and light, that the very power of the Holy Spirit was manifest. And the glory of Christ crucified was made known to them, that they would turn and believe and be saved. And so Jesus has great confidence in us, in what we can be, what we can do, when we are united with him. And so I encourage you to think about your own life, your own circle of reality, of people you know, the circumstances you're in. Where are you called to be that salt and light? And maybe if you think about that and there's fear and trembling, remember that through that weakness, the Holy Spirit can really work. Think about that for yourselves. This you are that Jesus commissions us with, this you are the light of the world, that you are is possible because Jesus also says, I am. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. You see, united to Jesus, following him, really living my life in reference to Jesus, that is what makes us the light that the world needs. In union with him, then can come that saving, that evangelizing, that returning, that mercy and flourishing. But with him, St. Paul once exhorted the Christians in Philippi about the same thing, about being united with Jesus, that they would be that light. He tells them, be blameless and innocent, children of God without blemish. You know, that being united in union with Jesus. Children of God without blemish in the midst of a crooked and perverse generation, among whom you shine like lights in the world. And that exhortation is as true today as it was 2,000 years ago. And so to be united with Jesus. So to be that light and that salt that the Lord wants us to be, we need to be with him. And so struggling to be that light and that salt, as scary as that may seem, that actually drives us into the arms of joy because it drives us into the arms of Jesus. And it opens us to his Spirit, the Holy Spirit, who can give true and lasting joy. And the struggle of being salt and light, that is where we can find this joy the world cannot take away. Or as Jesus once told his disciples, that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. So this isn't only some onerous burden I have to do, but it's really stepping into life and light and joy. And as our first reading said, if you want the gloom to lift and the darkness to be parted and banished, well then be that light and step out of yourself in all of these different ways. Being convinced of this responsibility, you are, and finding the joy of being that in union with Jesus, that usually requires some real heavy lifting in the heart that really only the Lord can do. We need to keep turning to him to be more deeply convinced of this. And I think that's one beautiful reason why we have our adoration chapel that we do. So beautiful to be able to go to our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, to go to him in his body, blood, soul, and divinity, our Lord himself there. You know, and because I think often that is where the Lord chooses to do that deep heart work we need to take up that commissioning of you are, to come to the great I am. This has certainly been true in my own experience, and that's why the seminary requires that seminarians daily go to adoration, spend an hour in adoration before the Lord. That's why my priest group, the Companions of Christ, including that guy, Father Brian Larkin, why we also go and do adoration daily to be before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, because we need that deep heart work to keep stepping out with the Lord, to be that salt and light. And so I encourage you, you know, there's many ways to encounter the Lord preeminently in the Eucharist, receiving him in the Eucharist. But this adoration chapel is such a blessed privilege we have to receive him, the light of life. So consider how you can go to the Lord in that adoration chapel. You know, we can talk about, we'll just make a visit sometime and kind of soft pedal it. But I want you to really think about committing to an hour a week. That's really not too much to ask. And it's so good for you. So beautiful and such a grace. it's done a beautiful thing in my life, and I know that many others can attest to that as well. Take a chance. Spend some time to be with and gaze upon Jesus, the light of life, so that we can be what we are truly called to be, a light for the world, His light for the world.